Blog Talk Radio.
Sunshine. Today's early bird secret password is sunshine.
When you find yourself in danger, when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the Mana Pro Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is Pat Foreman, author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles. Today is Monday, March 5th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and of course, living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try ManaPro's oyster shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try ManaPro's oyster shell for your pullets and layers.
Have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do. Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order.
So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Apologize for the dead air just a few minutes ago. A little technical difficulties on the switchboard regarding getting that other commercial played. It just spun and spun and spun, but didn't hear anything. So it must have been just a little bit of a hiccup or a delay on the switchboard. But nonetheless, we are back and broadcasting live. We hope you had a fabulous and wonderful and blessed weekend with your family and friends. It was an interesting weekend weather-wise for people across the country, but it looks like it's going to be a little bit calmer here in the southeast, at least for the next few days, thank goodness. If you or a loved one or someone you know is affected by these horrible storms that came through, we will definitely keep you and them in our prayers. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Of course, it is Monday, and every Monday we welcome Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. He's been talking about and having a series on internal parasites, and he's going to wrap that up today, and then we're going to start with another topic today, perfect timing for spring, coccidiosis. So whether you're actually getting ordering your chicks or hatching your chicks out or starting with chicks, whatever you're doing, since it's one of the number one diseases that can affect baby chicks and maybe even one of the number one killers of baby chicks, well, we all need to be familiar with, know the signs of, the symptoms, how to treat, how to prevent coccidiosis. And so that'll be on today's radio show. So we're definitely looking forward to that, and we hope you are too. It is now time, without further ado, to bring on, you guessed it, the one, the only, poultry advocate, author, and compost queen herself. Yep. The lovely Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat, how was your weekend?
Hey, yeah, it's marvelous Monday here, isn't it? I had a fabulous weekend. Thank you for asking. It was all chickens. All Friday, Saturday, and Sunday was all about poultry. So I still, it was just, I learned so much. You know, it's interesting, Whisper. There's always something to learn about chickens. I don't think anyone can ever know it all. There's just so much. But yes, by the way, I'm driving on the road. I'm in the hills here of, I'm in Virginia now. At least I've made it to Southern Virginia. But I may lose the signal. It's kind of a cloudy, snowy day here. And so if that happens, I'll call back in if I can get another signal.
No,
but
no problem.
Guess what I'm traveling along with? I swore I wasn't going to do it, but I did it.
Oprah Winfrey?
Oh, yeah. Oprah and her daughter, Attila the Hen. I took two chickens down to the growers, the organic growers school, organic growers school. Yeah, they were a huge hit. It's astonishing. About 70 people in one of the classes on poultry had never touched a chicken before or owned a chicken. There are so many wannabes that are coming. So, of course, we had them hold Oprah and on their arm and pat them. And even down at the bookstore then for an author signing later on, I took Oprah down and was out there in the hallway, and she was working people. I mean, she's really been a wonderful poultry poultry pioneer and advocate. But here, can you hear what these are?
I hear baby chicks.
I know. I did one of the growers down there from the Carolina Heritage Poultry Coalition. Guess what breed they had baby chicks of? Just guess.
Chanticleer.
Yes! Yeah, Chanticleers. Not just any Chanticleer, but buff Chanticleers. Which, I mean, what are the chances of that, of all the breeds, you know, in the world? And I go to this workshop, and I was just wondering, what am I going to do? Now, I got that trio 2 years ago, it was now. Remember in Columbus,
yep,
I took them
absolutely
home. They stayed in my mother's bathroom shower. Oh, dear. But yes, he's part of the recovery program and the Carolina Heritage Poultry Coalition. They're into getting heritage birds into the market and really bringing the breeds back up for production. So I've got 15 little baby chicks here, and about most of them are little buff Chanticleers, and I tell you, I couldn't resist. You I can go in and out of a jewelry store or in and out of a mall or whatever and just not be affected by things, but I see little baby chicks. It's just not fair. So.
Yeah, that's, you got that right. I posted on our Facebook page over the weekend about, you know, Tractor Supply having their Chick Days event starting all over the country, and
yep.
and people made comments just like that. I try to stay away from Tractor Supply during Chick Days because I have no more room for any more chicks, or they'll say, yeah, I went to get this and I ended up walking out with six more chicks. So yeah, it's,
yeah.
They are definitely addicting.
Plus, I ended up bartering some books for some black Osterwarp eggs, some of the really good production black Osterwarps that one of the breeders had down there. I'm going to go back and crank up my incubator, that old new humid air incubator that's sort of a cabinet piece of art.
Oh, yeah.
So, oh, boy, here I go. So, anyway, I'm learning a lot about traveling with baby chicks in the front seat. It's a little trouble having them keep their seatbelt on. You know, they keep wanting to get around and stir and everything. But they're doing really good.
I think by law in most states, Pat, you have to have the baby chicks in some type of little car seat to make sure you're abiding by all the laws. So maybe you can stop by a store and pick up a special car seat for your baby chicks, just so you're legal riding up and down the road.
Yeah. I don't want to be chick illegal. That would be bad, wouldn't it? And a state trooper just passed me, so you know, I told the chicks to keep their heads down. You know, duck.
Duck. You're telling a chick to duck.
They did. They got real quiet.
Oh,
they're so
goodness.
Adorable. Gosh. But they want to be fed every 2 hours. It's just uncanny. They'll go to sleep, and then they'll be really quiet, and then you hear this little murmuring, that gentle cooing kind of murmuring they do between and among themselves. And then it gets a little louder and a little louder and a little louder. So I pull over and give them some water and some feed, and they have a feeding frenzy, and then, boom, they're out again. So every hour to 2 hours, they want to have their be fed.
Oh, that is awesome.
So anyway, yeah, so we had a great, great weekend. I tell you, Whisper, what's interesting is that these workshops and schools and the seminars, and you've probably noticed that too, back when we started doing this 20 years ago, at the small farm conference and the Acres and some of the others, the crowd was really impassionate and enthusiastic, but you could tell they were really farm, growing their own food people. But now, especially at this organic growers school, we're seeing people coming up in Mercedes with painted nails and well-dressed and no mud on their boots. It's like it's really important. I haven't had to clean my boots because it had mud on them, you know. But it's really, really becoming to all the classes, I think, even upscale middle class as well as those of ones that just want to be more sustainable. So that was really encouraging.
Yeah, absolutely. And you hope they'll get hands on, but you and I both know on occasion they will have and I've experienced this where we'll have the folks that they'll want to leave to go to work at 7 in the morning, and when they come back at 5, they want instant coop and instant layers. They don't want to have to do anything with it. It's like, okay, so you're going to get started when I leave, and when I come back, I'm going to have the run built and the coop in and my layers out there, and I can come home and just name them, and I'll have an instant coop, and I won't have to do anything with it. Yep, okay, that's what I want to do. And there are folks out there just like they can mow their grass, but they have somebody to do it for them. Just for whatever time wise, maybe old back injury, whatever. But they're the ones that, and then they'll just, you know, they have their instant coop, and then they'll go out and collect the eggs, and may even have a chicken sitter service come in and take care of the whole flock for them.
Yeah.
And all they have to do is
collect the eggs. But at least they're getting fresh eggs. I mean, That's exactly right.
They're getting some fresh eggs out of their backyard versus 1,500 miles away. Absolutely.
What else was absolutely wonderful is that these poultry, we had a really big auditorium. Jim Adkins organized the schedule and gave quite a few workshops, and the Harvey Ussery was giving some workshops. Say?
Oh, yeah, Harvey, yep, absolutely. Know him both?
Yeah. And then some of the presenters from the Carolina Heritage Poultry Coalition gave some wonderful workshops. And every single workshop was packed. And they were saying at the cafeteria and in the hallways, you know, oh, have you heard about the poultry workshops? They're really great. They're really great. So one workshop at Harvey's had, I think it was 150 participants in it, about a third of everyone that was out there. something like that. The number, I forget the exact statistics, but it was pretty impressive. So chickens are hot. You know, we got to keep giving these workshops. You get on the road, I get on the road, and bring the poultry love.
Absolutely. And the road has been my friend lately. Again, we've had a couple of weeks ago Nashville, last weekend Atlanta. This past weekend we hit North Carolina. We will actually be home this weekend. And the next weekend we're heading out to Fitzgerald, Georgia for the Wild Chicken Festival there in Fitzgerald. And then I think we're home for another weekend. And then we're heading to Tallahassee for a big event down there in Tallahassee. And then I'm really looking forward to the big event in April at the Alabama Poultry and Egg Festival. 15 bands, 3 stages, ABA, APA sanctioned show, tons and tons of chicken-related contests. It's going to be absolutely awesome.
Oh, you'll have so much fun. I bet you come home with chickens.
Nope, not going to do it. I bet you a dozen. Okay, sounds like a plan. Oh, me. So very, very cool. Hey, I've got 20 after, so we've got to go ahead and get over here to the switchboard and bring on our wonderful and good friend here every single Monday, Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. Why rely on a forum or a blog when you've got the Chicken Doctor every Monday right here giving you the factual information that's going to help save your flock? And we are very proud to welcome right now Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. Hey, Doc, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Andy. Pat, how are you doing?
Oh, doing great, Peter. How are you is the big question. We want to keep you up and going and coming on the show.
I'm getting better. It's it's one of those things that takes a little bit of time. I don't have, again, quite the stamina that I used to have, so I'm not working the crazy hours that I did before. But
Good.
Trying to lower my stress level.
Why were you working 60 hours before? You're supposed to be semi-retired, Peter.
Yeah, well, before the 72-hour work week, you know, it's a self-imposed thing. It's one of those things.
I know.
I've been, forbidden to go on some places on the internet like Facebook and stuff. I haven't been on there but maybe 15 minutes in the last month. And just, you know, the same thing with emails. If they're not overly important, they don't get answered.
I constantly say about 100 emails behind. It's really, really crazy.
But
we've got the rest of our lives if we take care of ourselves. So you take care of yourself and just kind of let things happen.
The whole idea is to slow it down and get the stress level down, that kind of thing. So it goes against my grain a little bit, but I don't have a choice. And that's something I just have to do. I have to get my stress level down and not take as much stuff to heart as I usually do, which is tough because you get in that mentality of you can fix them all. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Damn well you can't, but that's not the issue. The issue is that you got to put your best foot forward. So that for me has been probably the hardest part, but I'm getting there.
So, you're doing great. We're proud of you.
If I didn't return somebody's phone call that needed help, I apologize, but I can't get them all, not anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm just doing the best I can do. And
very good.
So that's where I'm at. And hopefully I got a few things here to talk about this morning or this afternoon. And,
we're definitely looking forward to it.
I promised you folks last week that I would get a copy of the you all can look this up on the internet, the Animal Medicinal Drug Use Clarification Act of 1994, mm-hmm. and they affectionately call it MDUCA, A-M-D-U-C-A, and this is the rules and regulations for using medications off-label.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to bore you to death with every little nuance in this thing. You can read it for yourself. I'll just read a paragraph or so here. The legal number document of it is a 21 CFR 530. That means a lot to a whole lot of people, I'm sure. But it says, under the provisions of the Animal Medicinal Drug Use Clarification Act of 1994, the FDA recognizes the professional judgment of veterinarians and allows the extra label use of drugs by veterinarians under certain conditions, and it names the 21 CFR 530. Any drug used in the extra label manner is by definition a prescription drug since the involvement of a veterinarian is required. So that kind of answers, you know, what we've been talking about from the beginning.
Huh.
And this is not me speaking. It is what I have espoused to be, what I know to be the truth from the beginning. That's not
well,
to say that people can't.
Peter, did you just say that any off-label use of any drug could only be administered by a veterinarian, and that's where they could jerk the over-the-counter sales off of?
Yeah, and that's the direction it's going. I mean, look at the commercial poultry industry. I'm right in the heart of commercial poultry industry here. And if you look at, and I don't want to get too far off track here because there are a couple of things I'd really like to cover today, but if you look at this big flap over the arsenic, okay?
Uh-huh.
Purdue dropped that stuff 5, 6, 7 years ago. You know, they saw it coming. And they know that you spend millions, if not billions of dollars, getting a brand that's known, you know, almost across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing you want to do is have somebody say, hey, you know, their chicken has got arsenic in it. So they dropped it like a hot potato, even though they know what most of us know, that if it's properly applied to the birds, there's no big deal. It washes itself out of the bird. You know, I've seen
and
it. I've used it.
Into the bay.
Pardon?
Out of the bird and into the environment.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a whole other can of worms around here. And all we'll do here eventually is run agriculture out of the state. And that's inevitable. We all see it coming. It's just a matter of time. And they blame everything on the farmers when, indeed, the Chesapeake Bay has, other states other than Maryland that empty into it, and they're just as guilty with their runoff of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been fighting this thing in the Bay. If you go back and look at the Bay as far as contamination and Save the Bay, the Save the Bay effort, and this is the God's honest truth, if you go back and look at it historically, for over 100 years they've been talking about the demise of the Bay. Now, maybe after 100 years or so, we're closer to it. That's a possibility. But, every time the government sticks their nose into things, for instance, we had a ban here on rockfish, okay, striped bass. You couldn't catch one. And then the crab population declines. Well, if you have an overabundance of striped bass who eat the juvenile crabs, I don't think crab harvest is going to be too good. You see, so every time the government sticks their nose in something, you can't fool with Mother Nature. I'm just telling you that. I mean,
I've
watched it happen time in and time out. It's like trying to relocate wolves and all those other things. It just doesn't work. They become somebody else's headache, no matter what you do. So, you know, you have to take all of it with a grain of salt. And I'm by no means advocating pollution of the bay or any other body of water. I'm just saying that there has to be a reasonable methodology for overcoming these things, and I can just tell you that in 100 years of trying, they haven't gotten there yet, not even close.
Mm-hmm. So, if you would for me, Peter, if you would tell us the name of that document, and then just kind of read what you read to us one more time, please.
Yeah, it's called
it's
the Animal Medicinal Drug Use Clarification Act of 1994. And the acronym is AMDUCA, AMDUCA.
And that would be considered law.
That's law.
Okay.
And it was enacted then to clarify all of this. But, as you read it, you'll understand it. And you probably might have to read through it a couple of times to get to where you want, because they keep referring to, under the Act 21 U.S.C. 350B and all this other junk. But if you just read through it, it really is straightforward. And basically, the crux of what it's saying is that if you're going to use a drug off-label, then it has to be administered. Now, we're talking about if you're going to eat the carcass or you're going to be eating the eggs and that kind of stuff. If you just got them out in your backyard, who cares? That's your business. But when you start putting things into the food chain, the government gets uppity about it, okay? And so then it falls under a prescription drug and therefore must be administered and monitored by a bona fide veterinarian. That's basically what it says. And I'll reread it. It says, under the provisions of the Animal Medicinal Drug Use Clarification Act, of 1994, the FDA recognizes the professional judgment of veterinarians and allows the extra label use of drugs by veterinarians under certain conditions. Refer to 21 CFR 530. Any drug used in an extra label manner is by definition a prescription drug since the involvement of a veterinarian is required. Extra label use of drugs may only take place within the scope of a valid veterinarian client patient relationship. In the absence of a valid veterinarian client patient relationship, if an approved new animal drug is used for a use for which it is not labeled, such use has caused the drug to be deemed unsafe and therefore adulterated under the Act 21 U.S.C. 351A5. So if you're not using it and you're selling your eggs and or your meat and you're using ivermectin or something like that, you are in gross violation of the law.
So another simple theory, since we've been talking about it so much lately and it's been an issue on a lot of posts and whatnot, if you're going to use Wazine, for example, to worm your egg-laying hens,
mm-hmm.
then that's off-label use.
Right.
And technically, according to this law, would have to be administered by a vet or under their...
Right, and during that administration of the product, he would have to then determine what the withdrawal time would be.
Correct, and that would fall on him or her, the vet.
That's correct.
If something should happen and you sell those eggs and lo and behold, somebody, whatever happens, and hey, he made this decision, his professional opinion,
yep.
here it says in law that it falls on him,
yep.
go talk to him, not me.
And that's why you'll find, I recently had this happen where a client in New York has some birds with some, we've always called it ear canker because that's just what it looks like, but it's not related to it at all. This particular, this is an ear infection where they get this yellow gop in the ear. Sometimes it's orangey yellow, depending on the organism that causes it. But we've been fighting it for a long time, and we're able to keep it under control, with standard drugs, amoxicillin, cephalexin, and we use Otomax, which is a combination of three different drugs, gentamicin, dexamethasone, and I forget the other one. It's an antifungal, but it's an antifungal, anti-inflammatory, antibacterial thing. It's used in dogs for ear infections. So we've always used that and been very successful with it, but these two birds just kept coming back and then got to the point where the amoxicillin and the cephalexin and the Otomax didn't do anything. We had a sensitivity study done and found out that now this... these two particular birds, this organism, it turned out to be E. coli, and it's resistant to all three of those drugs. And right now they're on orbifloxacin, which is a sister drug made by Schering Plough that is in the same drug classification as Baytril. Okay? They could have used Baytril, but we had the orbifloxacin on hand. We used that. That these kinds of things are for off-label use. Now, she had a veterinarian look at this bird, and he did the sensitivity. He took the swabbing for the sensitivity thing, but he would not give them the Baytril or any one of the fluoroquinolone drugs that it was sensitive to them until they signed a waiver that they would not eat the eggs. So that's where you stand on this stuff, and they understand from me that they can't eat the eggs, and they're not overly worried about this particular person. Happens to be very much, how would you say this without being very much in love with every bird they own. They treat them
right.
like family. Okay.
Peter, I've got a question
yeah.
for you. Are there any studies at all that go into the metabolites from the any of the antibiotics or the anthelmints, the metabolites that would go into the egg?
Not that I'm aware of. They may exist, and if they do exist, they probably exist either with the Food and Drug Administration and or the drug manufacturer. But
I've never seen any. I think I'm going to search the internet, see if we can come up with something.
Yeah, the reason I don't think you see it is because it's a no-no in the first place, and companies aren't generally going to spend the money to find out.
No, why would they?
Yeah, because it costs millions of dollars to get a new drug through the Food and Drug Administration, and I can't see, especially in this day and age, I can't see a company wanting to spend a nickel on whether or not it stays in the egg or dissipates quickly or what
right.
happens. It's of no value to them.
Well,
somehow,
it even,
some of the
it
work
harm
has,
them.
Yeah,
I mean,
somehow some of the work has been done in certain medications, but not all in like England. And I would love to get a hold of some of their paperwork to see, just how it was done and so on and so forth. But, I just look at this as being an issue because it is. And, the stuff that floats around the Internet, on one hand, the
Thank
Internet
you.
To me has been a great boon for a lot of people for a lot of reasons. But then on the other hand, the Internet is probably one of the worst things I've ever seen. for all the nonsense and innuendo and stuff that goes on. And
thank you for mentioning that, because I got in a little a tizzy on a Facebook page about that with Wazine over the weekend, and just the quackery, I call it,
yep.
that is out there on all these that I saw somewhere on a forum. I'm not going to mention the one it was where they're clearly stating, here's this dude doesn't have any qualifications at all, yapping on this forum that Wazine has a 14-day withdrawal period.
Yeah, because they can't read. When they went to school, when they went to school, they didn't teach them how to read properly. They didn't teach them how to separate one paragraph from another. And a lot of people do that. And there's a great assumption out there: if it's okay to eat the carcass, then it must be okay to eat the eggs. And I'm not saying that at some point. You've heard me say this before. At some point, in my humble opinion, there has to be a break point for some, but not all. I read to you a while back about how long one of the I can't remember exactly what it was, gentamicin, how long it stayed in the carcass of beef, 2 years, in the injectable form.
Right.
How do you then apply a reasonable withdrawal time to that if you're going to use some other drug as a comparison, and you'd be dead wrong. So that's the issue for me. For the most part, I don't give a rat's ass one way or another.
Right.
If people, and I don't mean to be crude about it, but if people want to do it, go ahead and do it. It's your body, your mind, your soul. Go ahead, do it. And if you want to sell contaminated eggs and everything else, that's the thing that gets me. People are running all around and moaning and groaning about free range eggs and this and that and everything. And if you're sticking to it, that's great. I applaud you. That's cool. But on the other hand, if you're medicating and you're not telling anybody, and you're not having any withdrawal time or whatever, then what? So that's you will see. I won't live long enough to see it, but you all might. And certainly some people in the listening audience will. You will see where you will not be able to buy over-the-counter drugs for nothing. That's the way it's going. That's the way Europe is. It will not be all that long before you see that type of thing. It'll just tighten up. The only way to control it will be so that you don't have it. And you have
right.
to go to a
veterinarian. I sure hope that doesn't happen soon.
Well, I mean, what is it, this drug they're using to make methamphetamine now?
That is propanolamine.
Pseudohedrin or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, Sudafed.
Sudafed.
Right. You can buy it over the counter, so now you've got to find
now,
for it.
Now, some states, I listened to Attorney General for some state, I think it was Missouri or one of them out there, but they've had such a problem with meth labs and all of the problems that it entails. It's not just the drug being sold. It's the explosions from these meth labs. It's the fire, the damage it does to people and homes and communities and so on and so forth. He was going on and on about it, and it made a whole lot of sense. But, now it's going back prescription in certain states.
Yeah.
And in a sense, you can't blame them. So you'll see it down the road. It won't be all that long. I would say within the next 15, 20 years, you're going to see you won't be able to buy squat in the store. You'll have to have a veterinarian's okay to do it. And the more that people push for all of this stuff on the commercial side, you'll find that that's how it's going to end up on your side. And, you know, maybe at the end of the day it's a good thing. I don't know. But,
yeah.
Anyway,
but I should have had a pseudoephedrine, just for the record.
Yeah.
It was not that phenylpropanolamine, but they're often used. Yeah. Well,
but, you know, they're pushing the envelope on all of these things, and it triggers, you know, the feds to get involved. And if you poke them in the eye long enough, they're going to respond, and then you won't like the response. And so then everything will be a prescription item. And when you have a sick chicken, if you think you can't afford the medication now, just wait till it all goes prescription, and you'll choke.
Oh my.
But it's something that I see coming. I look at trends. Like I said, you can't buy any of this stuff legally in Europe. Very, very little, if any, medications over there without the watchful eye of a veterinarian. And,
right.
A lot
go to Mexico,
of it in,
though. You can buy about anything without a prescription.
Yeah, you know, and in Canada it's getting the same way. I've got a fair following of pigeon flyers in Canada who come to me. Who want, you know, medication and stuff that they cannot get their hands on there without a prescription, and it's over the counter over here. And I've got a couple of them. I ship it up to some place. Can't remember the name of it right now, but some place right outside Detroit, Michigan, and they've got a guy there who brings it across for them, and so on. But that's the way it works.
Well, Peter, don't you think the drug companies would fight that, because that would restrict quite a few sales, I would guess. I mean, because of, you know, they literally drop their sales base.
Well, yeah, I don't doubt that they'll fight it. Yeah, but you know,
especially the warmers.
They have fought, you know, for years, not to have certain products taken off the market, and you know, they've never won it, to my knowledge. Nitrofurazone.
But this law was back in 1994, correct?
That's correct.
Because they've had plenty of time to fight this, I guess. They ain't doing a good job if they are.
Yeah,
if it's
well,
still in play.
I think that the, you know, a lot of these drug companies are going to take the money as they can. See, you can make more money on the animal side because you can charge what you want. Nobody's watching. You know, it's not like on the human side where, you know, prescription drugs are out of sight, price wise.
Yeah.
You know,
true.
If you look at you know, you could make more money because if you need to make a little bit more money, so you add a dollar onto something. And I mean, Pfizer and Merck is the worst. I hate that company because every time you turn around, their prices go up and they don't give a rat's butt if you like it or you don't like it. Their motto is next, you know, because there'll be somebody going to buy it. And so I just see it the way I see it. And, you know, could I be wrong? Hopefully so. You know, like I said, I won't be around to see it, more than likely. That's the trend I see. That's what I see in Canada. That's what I see elsewhere. You know, and you'll still be trying to import drugs from Poland and everything else. A lot of illicit drugs come from Poland. A lot of crap made in Poland. And they make about every drug that you can think of. Comes out of Poland as a drug that's made there that's not approved anywhere. They just make it. And loads of it is shipped into the United States here. There are certain people here in this country who have... When you start looking at a list of medications, and I'm not going to name any names because that's not my bag, but when you start looking at a medication... I can tell you right off the bat whether it's a legitimate medication, where it came from. At least it didn't come from this country. And one of the ways to do that is to look at any drug in combination with another drug. It ain't happening here. All those drugs were taken off the market years ago. Anybody that's been around chickens for a long time, do they remember the product called Combiotic Injectable? The hydrostreptomycin and penicillin. Taken off the market. When they come out with some new drug rules and everything else, the government said, hey, you know, this thing's been around for 50 years. Show us that it still works. Well, it's off patent. Nobody's going to go back and spend millions of dollars to show you that the drug still works in combination. You know, you're supposed to show that the drug works better in combination than it did by itself. So you won't find anything here in combination. You don't find oxytetin and gallimiacin mixed together. You don't find... there's only one drug that's still on the market that I can think of that and it's a powder drug. It's not an injectable. But that's LS50. That's lincomycin and spectinomycin. But other than that, you won't find a 4-in-1. You won't find a 5-in-1. You won't find a 2-in-1, a 3-in-1, all this other crap that comes in from Poland and other places that they allow it. Because there are no efficacy trials on any of that stuff to show that it does anything. You know, and then you start to look at quality control. You know, that's one of the problems we have now with a generic drug shortage in this country. Besides the fact that when a drug goes generic, 50 people can't make it and make money. Can't.
That's right. Yeah.
You just can't. I don't care who you are. 50 people can't make it, and I'm using being a little facetious there, but 50 people can't use it and make money. Because what happens is that I'm sitting with a boatload of it, and I can't sell it for $4.95. So what's my next option? $3.95.
Right.
And Pat says, I got a whole bunch here at $4.50. Well, I'm $3.50. And Andy says, well, hell, I'm at $3.75, $2.75. And first thing you know, it's down below your cost, and that's where they are. And then the other thing is our illustrious government goes into Dubai and India and Pakistan and Ireland and all these other places and has a lot of generic drugs made. And we send a team of FDA people over there, and they look at the plant, and they approve it, and they come back in 2 years, and it's a crap hole. Well, it's the truth. They're not following the regulations. There's no... There's no records. The records are sloppy, or the plant is filthy, or they left something out. Who the hell knows? I can tell you, a vaccine company here in the United States, about 15 years ago, was shut down, and this was a poultry vaccine company for breaking the rules, and they were every so many years they get the FDA and the USDA go in and they look at all of their records and so on and so forth. And they went in and looked, and what they found was that they were making vaccine and they were putting it in these big bins. They didn't have enough storage facility on site, and they went and put it in an off-site storage facility. It's illegal. And the government looks at it and says it's adulterated goods. There may be nothing wrong with it, but it's supposed to be under the auspices and the watchful eye of the people that made it. And it's supposed to be labeled. The stuff wasn't labeled properly. They had it labeled just on the bin. The bottles had no labels on them. I mean, and of course, then when they find that kind of stuff, then they go through your shorts real with a fine-tooth comb. You know, every little cotton ball they find, and they finally shut them down. It was 6-8 months before they could get back up running again. And they made them change all the procedures in the plant, which meant firing people. The guys that did this, all gone. Everybody lost their jobs. Bring in all new people, retrain them. So you can see why we have these kinds of problems. And this is how it works. But anyway, I want to move on just a little bit.
Yes.
Here. I spoke to a friend of mine here recently, and his name is Tom. He asked me not to use his last name. Worked in the turkey industry. And I was talking to him about different wormers and what they used and so on. And they used two wormers to worm their turkeys. And, of course, turkeys, you know, they want to keep them free of blackhead if they can, so it's important to have a good worming program in place. And so I thought I'd pass this on. They used oxfendazole, which was a Fort Dodge product. And I don't even know if it's still available. I didn't have time to check, but... the trade name is Synantic. That's S-Y-N-A-N-T-H-I-C. And the other one that they used was the Valbazin, which is the albendazole we've been talking about for such a long period of time. And they liked the Valbazin over the oxfendazole because the valbazin did not settle out into water lines. And so I'm working on a little formula that if people want it, they can email me it, and when I have it ready, I'll give it to you, just how to work out how to put the stuff in the water at the proper dosage level so that you could worm your birds with it in the water. So we're making some changes here. We've already made one change to our valbazin label, which was I put a 8.5 by 11 sheet attached to your invoice. And, Pat, I sent that to you when you requested it from me, and that's how to give it at a higher dose if you really have a worm infestation and stuff. And it would be, that would be
yeah, thank you, Peter.
Yeah, you're
really
welcome.
Really appreciate that.
Yeah, anybody that ever wants it, you know, I may be a little slow getting it back to you, but you might want to take a look at something like that because it's a pain in the neck to have to go around and shove it down each bird's throat. I do understand that, okay? The other thing I wanted to talk about on worms was that there was a study that was brought up last week about diatomaceous earth, and Pat was kind enough to send that abstract to me. I read the abstract, and I'm in the process of getting the entire article because sometimes the abstract does not tell you some of the things you'd like to know. But when I read it, the outcome was as expected. They made no mention of tapeworms whatsoever, okay, in the abstract. And all of the worms that this diatomaceous earth did take care of were roundworms, and that would have been expected. That's what I said last week. So the study proves nothing to me. I already said that it would work for roundworms, and I also said that if, as long, in my opinion, from what I have seen from the test that was run here just about 3 years ago, that as long as that infestation is not severe, I think you're going to be okay. The other thing that comes to mind after I read that abstract is that, and again, the abstract doesn't say it succinctly, so therefore when I do get my hands on the whole article, I will review it, and if there's anything different, I'll let you all know. But having that diatomaceous earth put into a commercial feed versus you mixing it in a bucket is a hell of a difference. The distribution of it over the course of a ton of feed that has diatomaceous earth added to it is much more accurate in its distribution through that ton of feed than it would be for you doing it in a wheelbarrow or a cement mixer or whatever. Anybody that knows anything about feed will tell you that the government has a manual for that too. It's called the Good Feed Manufacturing Practices, whatever. In the Feed Additive Compendium. The compendium is a book of every feed additive that is a drug that is used by itself or in combination with another drug in feed for chickens, turkeys, cattle, whatever. And in that, it has a good feed manufacturing process, and it will tell you how long that feed is supposed to be mixed. Because if you don't mix it properly, either too short or too long, you can get that mix out of whack, where parts of that mix of that seed will have way more of the medication in it than other parts. Okay? You may not think so, but trust me, it does work that way. And it's so I would suspect that they had more success with the diatomaceous earth in a commercial feed setting than you would normally get from mixing it in the backyard yourself. And that may be the answer to getting the diatomaceous earth to work in the fashion that we all want it to work. The study that was done here, it was not done in a commercial feed. It was added in the field. So, that to me, that is a major factor in how this thing will work. Okay? So that's the I'm done with worms. But it's nice. I don't mind. I'm not here to argue with anybody. The facts are the facts. And I read the abstract. And they did get some round worms, and they did They did get some capillary worms, and but the abstract still does not say, you know, what kind of job the wormer did on any of the eggs, and that's a big issue. Okay, so we still leave the door open on that one. When I do get the article, I will read that. There's a lot of interesting research going on. There's some things about nitric oxide. If anybody knows anything about nitric oxide, it's one of the elements that controls the blood vessels in your body. There are some people that are saying it's the key to preventing heart attacks and heart disease, and can reverse heart disease. I'm becoming a fan of that.
You had recommended a book on that that I ordered, but I'm trying to remember the name of it. About was it the nitric oxide solution or?
I'm not sure. The one that I can send people to it because I you know, having just had a heart attack, I mean, to me it's an important thing at this point in time. But the nitric oxide does many, many things, and it regulates growth, different muscles and tissues and so on and so forth. But this guy is a board-certified heart surgeon. His name is Dr. Louis Ignaro, Ignarro. He has won a Nobel Prize for his discovery of what nitric oxide can do. So, you know, we're not talking about a donkey here. We're talking about somebody can walk. Yep, we can talk about somebody who's walking chew gum at the same time.
Well, I think the title of the book was nitric oxide. I kind of see the cover in my mind.
Yeah, it might have been. And one of the other books he has here is something that I just ordered myself. I think it's called No More Heart Disease or something like that. But
good title.
Yeah, my main concern is the nitric oxide, which is produced predominantly by an amino acid. For anybody who doesn't know what amino acid is, those are the building blocks of life. Without them, you're not going anywhere. And I believe L-arginine is the one that's most responsible for the production of nitric oxide. Don't get it wrong with nitrous oxide. There's a totally huge difference. This is nitric. But people can go to his website and they can read it. And, you know, the way I look at it is he didn't win a Nobel Prize for nothing. And, you know, it's breakthrough work. And, again, you're not going to see the big drug companies jump on it. And why is that? Because there's no money to be made in it. That's why. Because it's a naturally occurring thing. So, you know, I'm more apt to believe what he's saying, you know, about these things. And I recently read an abstract, again, which I'm trying to get the full article on it. But there is some significance in this nitric oxide in hatching turkeys, chickens, and ducks. So I'm very, very anxious. I actually have a note into the parties so that I can get this information because it's something that I'm interested in, and I may include that kind of information in my embryology.
Now, Peter, how could nitric oxide be used in hatching poultry? Is that what I think? That's what you just said.
Yeah, it may have a role, and I, like I said, I only read a piece of an abstract on it, and I don't have all of the great details in it, but it has to do with speeding up the process.
The incubation process?
Yeah, that's the take that I got, but I don't want to sit on that and say that's for sure. Okay.
Ooh.
I want to read the whole thing first, and because some of these things, you know, it's not everything is always proven either. When you read these abstracts, you have to read them. you have to read them with a little bit of a grain of salt thrown in there. But and what you know, we can talk about hatching and stuff. I fully intended to do that here in the very near future. So we were going to talk about coccidiosis today, but we're up to the top of the hour. I don't know if Andy wanted to do the riddle now and then come back to the coccidiosis, or if you want to save it. What do you want to do?
Yeah, we can do that. We can do the riddle and then get into cocci a little bit. That's perfectly fine.
The riddle is a little bit more difficult this week. Got to really put your thinking cap on. But if you know the symptoms, almost every line will tell you what it is. And relatively common, but that's all I'll say. Let's see how you all do. I really do enjoy it because I think it makes people think, and I don't care if you took the symptoms and you went and Googled it. Don't matter to me because that means you're thinking. It made you do something. So for me, it's a home run. That's how I look at it. So, Andy, whenever you're ready.
Very good. Let me go ahead and I'll get over here to it. I was talking about the wormer and whatnot. And while I'm pulling that up, I know, again, we've had 2-3 episodes now on worming and what to use. And So I guess the bottom line question is, because you've mentioned it in the other episodes, and I'll get to this and I'll read this question. If Peter Brown was going to worm his layers, number one, why are you going to worm them? Do you even have worms to worm for? Fecal flotation test will let you know if you need to or not, if you have worms or not, instead of just guessing. And do you give your child cough medicine every 3 weeks if he doesn't have a cough? Let's just give it to him. What the hell? You know, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need an antibiotic either, but let's just go ahead and give it to him. So let's just go ahead and worm our layers, even though we don't even know they have worms or not.
Yep.
So if... And keep giving your child cough medicine every 3 weeks, whether they need it or not. Yeah, keep doing that. So if Peter Brown was going to worm his layers out in the backyard, good broad spectrum wormer, what you going to use? What can we buy from you that you have in your store that we can worm?
I would strongly urge people to use the Valbazin. It's got a wide margin of safety. It's broad spectrum. It is used in the commercial poultry industry, and it is used in the commercial turkey industry. Withdrawal times, we start getting into that. So for layers, what my thinking would be, I would worm prior to the onset of lay, okay, because that's legal. I would then, and you've heard me say this time in and time out, and I know people will probably laugh about it, but become a poop inspector.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you're not only looking for worms. You're looking for coccidiosis, the pinkish blood you might see or whatever. You know, you're looking for droppings that are not normal and so on and so forth. You know, again, going back to a good friend of mine, hog veterinarian, Dr. Jim Cecil, when I used to work with him, you know, he said, stop, look, and listen. Don't care what kind of animal it is, but if you take the time and you stop and you look and you listen to them, they'll tell you what's going on. And for the most part, that's true. And so from my perspective, I would use the Valbazin, and I would do it prior to the onset of lay. And then after that, I would become a poop inspector. And, you know, if you suspect something, then a fecal flotation with your local vet or your local ag extension office can help you with that. Or if you can't get it done, send it in here and we'll take care of it. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. And it should, all of the things we talk about, withdrawal times and everything else, should not be, for those who listen to this show at least, a big deal anymore. Should understand it inside and out. You know what the law is. And what you do is your business. I'm not telling you what to do. That's not what I'm about. Anybody that knows me, that's I'm way the other side of the fence. You know?
Absolutely. Give them the facts. Give them the law, and then let them make their own mind up. But I think it's important for them to know the law, to know the facts, instead of just having some quackery expert say, oh, it's 14 days for Wazine.
Yep.
Show me the proof.
Yep.
You know, show me the proof. Where is it?
And you know, for the most part, you know, I realize that a lot of the blogs and a lot of the the websites that have chickens and stuff. You know, if you really want to do yourself a favor, it's stay the hell off of them, because there's no sense in getting in a urinating contest with an idiot. I mean, it just, all you do is beat your brain. You know, Andy, I see you do it all the time, and you're just wasting your time. I mean, I understand where you're coming from, right. And I say to myself when I see you do it on Facebook or someplace else, I said, poor Andy, he just hadn't learned yet. I purposely don't go on the blogs, because every time I try to tell somebody the truth, I got 14 idiots that want to tell me something different.
There you go.
You know, and I don't like to call people idiots. Let me change that a little bit. I have 14 misinformed people that want to tell me something different. And I know people will say, you know, things about what I'm about to say, too, is that I'm not going to lie to you. I have no reason to. You're either going to buy something from me or you're not. And if you don't, that's okay. You know, that's okay. I don't get upset about it. I go on and do what I'm doing and go with it from there. But I know what I know because I've studied it.
Right.
And Pat can tell you I got back to her on that abstract in about 5 minutes because I read it, I understood it, and I told her what it was all about. Did I not? Is she still there?
She must have dropped off or got lost. Cause
okay. Well, you can ask her on whenever you want. I got back to her within 5 minutes because I was scheduled to go to the sleep lab for a sleep study. So I did that quick and then went to – see, that's how I am. I had to get it off my system before – I went and did something important. So,
absolutely. Okay, anyway. We've got the riddle, folks. We're going to go ahead and do this, and we're going to take caller number six. Caller number six, Ella, I'm going to clear the switchboard here in a minute, so don't be calling in yet to make it fair for everybody. First, I'm going to tell you the prizes that we are playing for. It's a, let's see, we've got a combination of a one-quart water jug with a one-gallon water jug with a one- and one-and-a-half-gallon jug. Maybe you can explain that to us.
Yeah, what it is, it's like a chick pack. So you can start out your little group of chicks on your one-quart water when they're, you know, not drinking a ton of water. And then you can graduate up to the gallon water. And then the gallon and a half, and both the waterers that I have are different than a lot of the waterers other people have. The gallon water, the diameter of the base is about 1.5 times the diameter of the others.
Right.
And it's not blow molded; it's injection molded, so that it doesn't grow bacteria and stuff on the inside of the jug as easy.
Awesome.
They also stack where the other ones don't stack. And this is a lug bottom where you put it on and you turn it a quarter of a turn and it's locked in place so the bottom doesn't fall off. Then you go to the 1.5-gallon water jug. It has a handle at the top so you can carry it. And its base is as big as the base on the 3-gallon water that you get. So you're going to get four waters. You're going to get a 1-quart, a 1-gallon, a gallon and a half, and a 3-gallon.
How cool is that? Coolest
so
thing.
They won't have to bother worrying about anything. And this will tie in a little bit with what we might want to do next week. We finish up proxy between this week and next week, and we start on hatching and whatever else along those lines, and I'll come up with some other things, you know, brooder thermometers and what have you, and whatever, that relate to that. I'm thinking I've got an extra turner for a hover baiter here, so...
Sweet.
May put that out there as a choice of a prize. We'll see.
We'll see. Awesome. Okay, here we go. And we're going to take caller number, caller number six. I'm going to get over here to the switchboard and clear that. So if you just happen to be listening, I apologize. You will get disconnected while I clear the switchboard to make the contest fair. And we'll get back over here to our question, our riddle for today. Here we go. Call number 6-347-637-3237, 347-637-3237. I am the killer that does not knock on your door. I enter your body through the air or the dirt on the floor. I am everywhere you want to be, and when I am in flight, you cannot get away from me. You will twitch and jerk and find it hard to breathe with no real cough, not even a sneeze. Contaminated liquid is my game with cream-colored plaques attached to your liver, lungs, eyes, air sacs, and brain. What disease am I? Yes, I'm going to repeat that here.
It should have been contaminated equipment.
Oh, gotcha. Contaminated equipment is my game. Gotcha. Okay. I am the killer that does not knock on your door. I enter your body through the air or the dirt on the floor. I am everywhere you want to be, and when I am in flight, you cannot get away from me. You will twitch and jerk and find it hard to breathe with no real cough, not even a sneeze. Contaminated equipment is my game, with cream-colored plaques attached to your liver, lungs, eyes, air sacs, and brain. What disease am I? 347-637-3237 for that awesome multi-waterer that can take you through all the different stages of raising chicks. So it's perfect time, perfect prize for the spring. Again, 347-637-3237. Use your brain. Think about this. Call in. Give it a guess. That's one awesome thing about the riddle and being based on disease and the symptoms and whatnot is we get really a lot of good people that call in and they're thinking and they may be wrong, but their theory is there. It's just really, really neat how these questions on Monday with the riddle and the disease work and get people calling and get people thinking about some of the symptoms that they are having. I tell you what, while we're waiting for the phone lines to light up, I'm going to go ahead and just take a short commercial break. We have only had one when the show started, so we'll take a short commercial break. When we come back, we'll go to the phone lines. We said we'd take caller number 6-347-637-3237, and we'll return right after this short break from our sponsors.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
And you can find all the great Ware products here.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
If you're looking for a unique gift idea for that dog, cat, horse, or chicken lover, then look no further than HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a wide selection of gifts for both the home and farm. My favorite is the chicken noodle soup with noodles shaped like chickens. I'm sure you'll find everything you're looking for at HobbyHillFarm.com. That's HobbyHillFarm.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce, I'll don my super suit.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is Monday, which means we've been talking with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor and founder of FirstStateVetSupply.com. In fact, we encourage you to visit his website quite often, FirstStateVetSupply.com. He also has the Chicken Consultation Program, maybe the only one that we know of in the country, where for just $25 you can have a great consultation with Peter if you have a sick or injured bird, want to know about medications or drugs or treatments or whatever the case may be. And so being that he's slowly getting back up to his norm, just try to give him a call. He'll see if he can get to you and try to get the more urgent ones done first as he recuperates over the next few months, which he will be doing. But we'll be welcoming here every Monday. So let's get over here to the phone lines here, and we'll go right to let's see. Well, I'm not sure who actually hung up. I guess they're still listening live. But if you hung up, you were caller number 6. So now we're going to go to caller number 7. So they had called in. They were sitting there. They were waiting, and then all of a sudden their number just disappeared. I guess they hung up or got disconnected or something. You were caller number 6, but you hung up. So that means we just go to caller number 7, and that's what we're going to do. Caller calling in from area code 270. You're live on the air with the Chicken Doctor and the Chicken Whisperer. State your name. Tell us where you're calling from, please. Area code 270. Oh, hang on just a second.
Can you hear me?
I can now. How you doing?
Hey, doing great.
Very good.
This is Critter Lover in Florida.
Critter Lover in the chat room. Awesome. Very good. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for joining us in the chat room. What say you? What disease am I?
I'm going to guess it sounds like Merrick's.
No, if this were Merrick's, somewhere in the riddle, I would have alluded to the fact that we would have had some problems with legs, wings, or something along those lines, some sort of crippling. We have these symptoms that I put in here are very specific to this particular disease, and there wouldn't be, as a general rule, any kind of respiratory issues with Merrick's. So,
okay, that was an absolutely awesome guess.
Great
in fact,
guess,
when
you thinking. Yep.
Absolutely. Okay. Got to have fun with the buzzer. Okay, we'll go to the next caller. Let's see what we got here. Area code 941. You're on the air with the Chicken Doctor and the Chicken Whisperer. State your name. Tell us where you're calling from.
This is Tracy from Florida.
Hey, Tracy from Florida. Anywhere near Tallahassee? I'm coming down that way in a couple of weeks.
No, that's way north of us.
All righty. No problem. What say you? What do you think this disease might
be? Well, I was actually going to say Merrick's disease, but is it the bursal disease?
I'm sorry.
Say it again.
Is it the infectious bursal? I was going to say Merrick's with my first guess.
Okay. No, it's not infectious bursal disease. Infectious bursal disease, you would see a white watery diarrhea. You generally would not see any kind of respiratory issue whatsoever unless the bird had been exposed. The infectious bursal disease is basically... The commercial poultry industry doesn't like to hear this, but it is basically chicken AIDS. It is a a virus that attacks the immune system of the bird. It gets its name from the organ that it attacks, which is the bursa fabricis, which is just under the oil gland and attached to the very end of the intestine. This is where all of the B and T cells are produced for the immune system before they migrate from there up to the thymus and other places in the body. So when the bursal disease virus attacks the bursa, we have there basically what you would have in a human with AIDS. We have a person that catches everything. We have a person and a chicken that die, get fungal diseases, get viral diseases, get bacterial diseases, hence the white droppings, and the birds are very unthrifty, and they just don't do well at all. So this would not be bursal disease. And just for your information, that particular disease has another name, and besides bursal, and it's routinely in the poultry industry called Gumboro disease, spelled G-U-M-B-O-R-O. And the reason for that is it was discovered first in Gumboro, Delaware, about 25 miles from where I'm sitting.
How about that? Have I mentioned lately how much I love having you on the show every Monday?
I love doing it. I just, you know, this is, if I could do this every day, I would. So.
All I got to say is, get that from a blog or forum, buddy.
Jeez.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Thank you, caller. From
yeah, thanks for calling. It's still a good guess no matter what.
Awesome. Okay, let's get back. We've got some more going down the line in order. Area code 740-740, you're on the air with the Chicken Whisperer and the Chicken Doctor. Tell us your name and what state you're calling from.
Emily from Ohio.
From Ohio. Did you how about the storms? Did you get any of that bad stuff?
Oh, we got some, but we're okay.
That's what counts. You're okay.
Yes.
What answer do you think, or what disease is the riddle referring to?
Mycoplasmosis?
No.
Oh.
And again, the reason we would with mycoplasmosis, the main one being Mycoplasma gallisepticum, or for short, MG. Some people want to call it CRD. You would see marked respiratory issues. You would not see the plaques in the eyes and that kind of thing. You would see bubbling in the eye. One of the ways to look at and find upper respiratory or respiratory type issues is to take the bird, hold the mouth closed, hold the nostrils closed for about 15, 20 seconds, and if they bubble up in the corner of the eyes, has some sort of upper respiratory. We talked about that about a year or so ago when I first came on board about one of the ways of, you know, when you go to somebody's farm and you want to see if the birds are healthy, just grab them by the beak, shut the mouth, and close the nostrils off. If they start bubbling in the corner of the eyes, just beg off and go home and leave them right where they're at. But no, this would not be that. One of the things that I probably shouldn't give out little clues, but maybe I should.
Maybe at this point, sure.
Well, this one is a tough one, but it is out there, and it goes by two different names. Okay. There's a possibility here for two different names. Let me see.
Just take another caller while you're thinking of another.
Yeah, go ahead and do that.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, and the in-flight part should tell you something. Okay, this is airborne for the most part. It's what we call ubiquitous in nature, meaning it's anywhere and everywhere, and that's what I mean by I'm everywhere you want to be.
Gotcha. All right, area code 239. 239, you're on the air with the Chicken Whisperer and the Chicken Doctor. State your name. Tell us where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Emily from Naples, Florida.
Naples, Florida. Thank you very much. Another Emily calling in, different state. And what say you? What disease are we? Does the riddle describe?
I would think it's the wet form of fowl pox.
No. Very good guess, though. Very, very good guess, because you could see plaques on the eyes and that kind of thing. You more than likely would not see them on the liver. And the lungs, you would see them in the trachea with wet pox. But you might see plaques on the eye. So that's a pretty good guess. I didn't even think about that one myself when I was thinking this thing up.
Awesome. But, great guess.
Yeah, very good guess. Yeah. Yep. But it is not, and because we would have seen these plaques appear directly on the skin, the comb, the wattle area, the right around the nostril where that soft tissue is, where the beak meets the face of the bird, we would see the lesions there. And we're not seeing them here. We're seeing these lesions when you're doing a post-mortem for the most part. You may see these plaques attached to the eye prior to, but you would also find them in the liver, the air sacs, and things like that. Okay. We have discussed this on the show, by the way. This was a disease last year that we went through.
Okay.
And we talked about it in detail. Okay.
We've got a caller from 951. 951, you're on the air. State your name and tell us where you're calling from, please.
Hi, this is Barbara from California.
Barbara from California, thanks for tuning in today. What disease am I?
Well, I'm just taking a guess here because of the mention of the liver issue, but is it the coccidiosis?
No.
Okay.
And it's not because we would not generally see these plaques in the eyes, the air sacs, and that kind of thing. Coccidiosis is a protozoan parasite, as we were going to talk about today, and you would see it predominantly stay in the intestines. Different species of coccidia live in different parts of the intestine. But there are about 8 to 9 different species of coccidia, not all of them causing the bleeding in the intestine. So, you know, if it were coccidia, we probably would have mentioned lethargy in the birds. They have a tendency to stand around, droopy wing, fall asleep standing up, that kind of thing. May or may not have blood in the droppings. Maybe one of the birds that you let them out for the day and this one doesn't want to come out. They sit in the corner and things of that nature. Usually those are all symptoms of coccidiosis. The only time you may see some difficulty breathing is just before they get ready to die with that particular disease. With this disease, okay, you would see difficulty breathing. Okay, and each breath would get tougher and tougher for them to take as this disease progresses.
Okay, and what we'll do, folks, is we will actually schedule coccidiosis for a week from today on Monday, because we had the information we shared with you earlier about the law and all that was fabulous and really just getting right down to the nitty gritty. And then of course this that we wanted to make sure we had our giveaway, so we'll have the whole show dedicated to coccidiosis.
Andy, I'm going to throw one more thing out here, and I think this will help everybody out.
Great.
This particular disease, okay, listen closely now. This particular disease cannot be cured with an antibiotic. So that ought to separate a whole lot of things.
Okay.
Okay. And I would also take into consideration that we were talking about the water package that is a prize for this, what that has to do with, why we chose that water package. Trying not to give this away.
right.
But we chose it for a reason, and it's a particular time of year. There's a lot of things going on at this time of the year, one thing in particular. We'll see what somebody else has got to say.
Going down the switchboard, looks like area code 270 might want to try to take a stab at it again. Area code 270, you're back on the air.
Yeah, I'm going to give it one more shot. Is it aspergillosis?
Absolutely. Right on the money.
Okay.
Also, that's a good guess, and it's also known as brooder pneumonia. So if you want to look at the riddle, okay.
Well, when you said it can't be cured by an antibiotic, that was the final tip-off.
Well, I didn't want this thing to be that. I didn't want to drag it out forever and ever, and I didn't want people to think that I don't want to give the damn waterers away, because that's not it. I just want people to think, and this is one at this time of the year people often forget about because a lot of folks have not seen it. I can tell you from my own experience, you don't want to see it. It's a nasty disease, very tough to get rid of. Antibiotics do not help in any way, shape, or form. So if you look at the riddle, it says that to enter your body through the air or the dirt on the floor, and that's true. If the spores are in the floor, you know, the birds are close to the floor and they pick them up that way. They pick them up through contaminated bedding. That's why I'm not a big fan of hay and straw and those kinds of things, because they are primary carriers of this type of a situation. Not always, but they, you know, those two products, hay and straw, are not always handled the best, okay? I'm everywhere you want to be? Yeah, when it sporulates and it gets into the atmosphere, it's everywhere. And you can't get away from it then. And it enters the bird's body through the eyes, through the nose, through the mouth, and that kind of thing. So it's all there. It was just one of those things. And you don't find the snotty nose. You don't find the eye involvement you would find with some of these other diseases. So that's why I put in there. And you will find it because it does affect the brain. So that's why I put in there, you know, twitch and jerk and find it hard to breathe, the breathing part of it, definitely, okay? And with no real cough or sneezing going on. There may be an occasion where there will be a possible wet cough or something, but usually it's coming from a secondary bacterial infection rather than a primary infection of aspergillosis. And,
perfect.
The other thing is contaminated equipment. Contaminated incubators, contaminated bedding, contaminated brooders, you name it, that's where it comes from. And the only way to make any kind of attempt, to cure this with anything would be fluconazole or ketoconazole given orally. And we have been able to do that sometimes if it's not a real bad case. Spraying oxine over the birds and down their throat and that kind of thing can help with it and get the birds, you know, over it and so on. But it is a nasty disease. And don't think for a minute that your birds, because they're free range, are free of it, because that's not true either. Aspergillosis is a saprophyte. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. It's S-A-P-R-O-P-H-Y-T-E. And what this means is that it readily grows on and gets its nourishment from dead and dying organic matter. So when you see a bird out there and there's some dead grass laying around and they're eating it, I'd shudder. I'd probably run over there and chase them away from it and clean up the grass. But this is what would happen to them, and that's what the disease is, and I wanted to bring it to the forefront today simply because we are in hatching season and people may come across this. And one of these days, Andy, we need to get a place where we can put up some pictures of all these different things we talk about, because I'm 100% sure that it'll make it crystal clear to folks just what they're up against with some of these things.
Yeah, let's work on that. I thought for a minute you said one of these days you and I are going to have to get a nice place on the beach.
That may be, but not on the money I make.
I was like, hey, you know, call the real estate agent. Oh, man. And one more time, I had a request to see if you could mention where we can read or see that law earlier about it off-label use administered by a vet. If you could give us either
yeah,
a link,
if you'll just Google it.
Okay, hang on. Let me get over here and I'll do
hang
it.
Hang on
right.
a second. Let me bring up the internet here. See if I can.
I'm going to do that as well, and then we'll wrap up the show with that.
Hang on one second here,
folks. Tomorrow we welcome the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. They'll be joining us. More than likely, it will be Jeanette Barringer there with the ALBC. They do great works across the country regarding heritage breeds and saving a lot of the breeds that may be, I don't think they use the term endangered, but on the critical list I think that they have. So tomorrow is the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. Wednesday is Garden Wise Living with Arlena. Thursday is Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, using biochar in your backyard and your backyard gardens, this Thursday with Richard. And then another Fun Friday coming up this Friday, just to let you know what you have and what we have in store for you this week.
Andy, if they just if they just Google Amduca, A-M-D-U-C-A, 1994, it's the first one that comes up. It'll say Animal Medicinal Drug Use Clarification Act of 1994, and then once they open that, it should be good to go.
Okay, and that little section you read, extra label use, I guess, would be?
It'll say extra label use of FDA-approved drugs in animals, and then I went down past their definition and started where it says under the provisions of the Animal Medical Drug Medicinal Drug Use Clarification Act of 1994, and I read that section in there. I mean, there's plenty to read, and you can go on and on and on with it, but I didn't want to waste all that time today.
Basically means should be... administered by the definitely. Okay, I've got that down. I'll make sure I bookmark that and share it with everybody as well. So very cool. Well, folks, you've been listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, of course, with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, and visit his website, FirstStateVetSupply.com, and he will be joining us next Monday. We will cover and we'll start off right at the first of the show, as always, around 12:15 with coccidiosis. Tis the season. Yes, I will be posting this link and everything on our Facebook page, FlowerGirl951. Absolutely, we'll do it. So, Doctor, thank you very much for coming on the show today, and we look forward to seeing you and next Monday. And you take care of yourself now.
Okay, thanks. See you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. How cool is that? Like I said earlier, man, I love having Peter Brown on the show, FirstStateVetSupply.com. Check out his website. He has tons and tons and tons of stuff. When you order from him, you'll get the specific dose for one bird, two birds, three birds, six birds, not 6,000 or 60,000. So that's one great perk. And you've got somebody that specializes in chickens when you order from him versus someone else who knows nothing about chickens, or maybe not even the pet that you're actually administering. So there's advantages to that as well, again, at FirstStateVetSupply.com. And we appreciate you listening. Later today on our Facebook page, we have an awesome contest. It is the photo contest that will put all other photo contests to shame. Okay? How would you like, very important here, listen up, how would you like to have one of your chickens featured on a retail product? Yep, it's going to be an awesome contest. I should have all the details to get ready to start the contest later this afternoon. We'll be starting it on our Facebook page. And there's one of our sponsors, which will be announced in the contest. One of our sponsors is releasing a new product slash kit, and it will have at least five different products in the kit. And so they need five pictures of really champion chickens, if you want to just come right down to it. So later today on our Facebook page, just go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer, and we'll be posting it sometime later this afternoon. We're going to be starting to ask for your photographs. It'll have the details of the photographs, what kind of background, what kind of how good of a photograph, how big, the DPI, and all that information, where to email those to. And then this coming Friday, the contest is going to end Thursday at midnight, and then this coming Friday, we hope to announce the five winners, five Chicken Whisperer fans / listeners, five of you are going to have one of your beautiful birds featured on a retail product that will be basically promoted and sold nationwide. So how cool is that? Again, the photo contest that'll put all the others to shame right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer and on our Facebook page. So we hope, I'll be working on that right after we go off the air and getting that contest up and running sometime later this afternoon. How cool is that? Everybody will see your chicken on that label. So very, very neat contest there. Also, later this afternoon on Facebook, we'll be giving away a Hen Saver hen apron, the original, the number one over 10,000 sold hen saver, hen apron from Crazy K Farm. We'll be giving one of those away later on our Facebook page. We hope that you will tune in tomorrow right here on Blog Talk Radio, again, when we welcome the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. So we're going to leave you with a little commercial break here, and we hope you can tune in tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We really didn't get to the early bird secret password. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. We sometimes announce the early bird secret password at the beginning of the show, and then if we have time, those who got into the chat room and started listening on time have a little bonus there, and sometimes they'll win a t-shirt or a mug or another prize. So we'll continue that. Maybe tomorrow we'll have an early bird secret password and have time to give away a prize if you get in the chat room on time or early. So we do that on occasion if you're wondering what that was all about. So we're not giving our next chicken coop away until April. We're giving away a chicken coop in April, June, and August. You got that? Yep, chicken coop giveaway right here on the radio show. In April, we're giving away a coop. June, we're giving away a coop. And August, we're giving away a coop. How cool is that? Already have it lined up from our friends over at MyPetChicken.com. Alrighty, folks, we will see you tomorrow right here, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust.
Since 1921, Stromberg's has been a family-owned and operated business, providing quality poultry and poultry supplies to their customers. Today, the Stromberg family offers over 200 different breeds of poultry, including chickens, waterfowl, and game birds. They also offer poultry supplies for the beginner or advanced poultry keeper. Stromberg should be on the top of your list when it comes time to order. Shop online at www.strombergschickens.com or call today at 1-800-720-1134. Remember, that's StrombergsChickens.com.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
All right, thanks for staying with us, and we will see you tomorrow with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you.